We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Got this in pocket. Got that, I'm gonna use it. Intention.
Gonna use my arms, gonna use my legs. Chrissy Hines, the Pretender, sexy Chrissy. 6:30 on your hump day, Wednesday morning. No longer episode day, not at least today. This is the Pretenders, and there's a reason why I picked this morning. You know, Bernie, much like you, Bernie's a big UFC guy, but also a boxing fan like I am. And I have seen over the years some very lopsided boxing matches. One that comes to mind right away was one I sat through in Tennessee, in Memphis, Lennox Lewis versus Mike Tyson. In Tyson's credit, what he did to Michael Spinks, very lopsided.
I want to eat his children.
Shane Mosley, Antonio Margarito. You know, you've seen some, even, by the way, Floyd Mayweather and Arturo Gatti. You've seen some fights over the years that were lopsided. But with that said, I don't think I've ever seen a more lopsided fight, if you want to call it a fight or conversation, than the first 15 minutes of Tucker Carlson last night. What he did to Kamala Harris was, oh, I don't know, 100 times worse than anything Mike Tyson did to Michael Spinks, or for that matter, anything Lennox Lewis did to Mike Tyson.
How dare he?
That was a knockout punch. He beat the living daylights out of the current vice president, and God knows she deserves it. So right there, the Pretenders, brass in pocket, the biggest pretender of all, is in fact the vice president of the United States.
Who is the vice president? I don't even remember.
Oh, you know who she is.
What did she do wrong?
Well, she's a black woman, and she's a woman, and she's an Asian woman.
He attacked her because she's black?
No, he attacked her because, well, she had a very rough couple of days, one day, I should say, in Latin America. Not a great day in Mexico, and it wasn't a very good couple of days for Kamala Harris. It just wasn't, right, wouldn't you say? I mean, I think he and, like, all the rest of us are sick and tired of hearing that she's a woman, and she's a black woman, and she's an... We don't care.
Listen, I would never, ever call her a bimbo. I wouldn't, because it's just disrespectful.
You called her a lot worse, to be
disrespectful
honest.
Disrespectful, to the honest. No, I think that would be the worst thing
really?
Have called her. Yes.
A bimbo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have not called her worse. What? Give me an example.
Lowlife. That's worse than bimbo.
I never said that. I never said she was a lowlife.
Yeah, you said Biden and her are both lowlifes. And I don't even disagree.
Never said it. Right. Reject it categorically. I would never. It's disrespectful to her in the office calling her a bimbo. But she is not a serious person. And, of course, she was put in charge of the border.
Yeah.
And it's only gotten exponentially worse since she was put in charge. So what does that say?
Well, it says that she is not a very serious person, like you just said.
And then she sat down with Lester Holt, which anybody listening to us, I'm sure, has heard. But she sat down with Lester Holt, and he asked the obvious question everybody's been asking. You're the border czar. You're the czar who's in charge of the border. Well, when are you going to go to the border, and why haven't you not gone? And, well, it's like she wasn't prepared for the question. She wasn't prepared, or she couldn't believe. How dare you ask me that question? This is supposed to be, you're supposed to be my friend. You're
right.
On my team.
That's what it was. You know, she gave a really stupid answer. Somehow she involved Europe. I haven't gone to Europe either. Well, who cares? Nobody put you in charge of Macron in France, who got slapped around like you did yesterday, Kamala. But you're in charge of the border. And I think it's a fair question. Why haven't you gone? And she, you know what she does? She has this annoying giggle, this annoying cackle, this nervous laugh. And she often does that when she has no answers, which is just about every single time.
Look, as probably Tucker pointed out last night, that's what you get when you pick somebody based on how they look.
That's right.
On their gender, on their skin color, as opposed to picking somebody on their merit.
Well, you've done this on this show a million times, and he did it last night. It actually reminded me of you. I'm going to give you a lot of credit here. But he played a montage of folks on MSNBC and CNN and all these folks gushing over Kamala Harris, not because of anything she's done in terms of substance. I mean, nothing. Every one of them was like, She's a woman. She's the first woman. She's the first black woman. She's the first Asian woman. She's the first woman to bang the mayor and become vice president. My God, who cares?
It's a nice thing when ceilings get broken, but the person has to has to be competent, has to be up to the job. Say, for example, Condoleezza Rice, who was up for the job, and it was great when she was picked. Then she did she was Secretary of State, other positions before that. But even in this case, after last night with Lester Holt, even Willie Brown is going, damn, you're making me look bad,
yeah.
Kamala.
Yeah.
You want to hear the Lester Holt exchange?
Oh, yeah. I can listen to that 100 times a
day. All right. Go ahead. Play that, please, Matt. Lester Holt and, his fellow traveler, Kamala Harris.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. This whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
No, you're not in charge of Europe, you dummy. You're in charge of the border.
So she doesn't understand the point. So she's really now. Did she actually pass the bar? She can't be that stupid.
She's not, and she did understand the point. You made the point earlier. She really thought she was in friendly territory, and he wasn't going to come back with. But you haven't been to the border, and she had no answer. She's not stupid.
Hey, listen. This is again what happens when you pick people based on again their appearance and not merit. Look, the NBA, for example, is a merit-based organization, and the best rise to the top, and it's predominantly black.
Yes,
and that's great,
overwhelmingly black.
Overwhelmingly, and the NFL, and that's the way it should be.
Right?
No, we shouldn't be putting in quotas. We want the best. The teams are not going to hire and say, "Well, we already have too many blacks." Listen, you just hire the best, especially when it comes to leading your country. You hire the best. And that's not what they're doing. That's not their mentality. It's all about this diversity, inclusion, all this nonsense, really. I mean, again, it's merit-based. Let people rise naturally, and they will. We had President Obama for 8 years. He wasn't the best, but he still rose. He was elected. He wasn't appointed. She was picked based on her appearance. And we're reaping the rewards or the consequences, I should say, right now.
And it may get a heck of a lot worse if, in fact, or when, in fact, she makes her way to the White House and replaces Joe Biden, which is a very good bet. That is a very good bet. Sometime before his 4-year term is over. 1-800-848-WABC. As always, that's the number. 1-800-848-9222. Off to a fiery start on this Wednesday morning.
Now you feel like such a fool.
WABC presents New York City's first controller primary debate coming up today with our good buddy Dominic Carter as your moderator. The debate begins at 4:15. You can stream it and watch it live on WABCradio.com or download the 77 WABC app. It's free and listen wherever you are. It's from New York's talk leader, 77 WABC. And let's stick with that for a second. I was talking about this with Frank and Juliet this morning. First of all, what percentage of New Yorkers, Bernie, if you had to guesstimate, what percentage of New Yorkers even know that mayoral candidate Scott Stringer is the current comptroller?
Oh, I think the vast majority. I think he's a very, very popular guy.
Okay.
And if you walk down the streets of Bed-Stuy or Bayside and ask people who Scott Stringer are, they'd say, well, he's the comptroller, obviously. Everybody knows that.
you had me there for a second. You had
me. I had you. Yes. One of these days, Henry, you're going to turn, Henry.
You had me. So let's
nobody knows who the hell this weasel is.
Of course not.
And he is a weasel.
He's in big trouble.
And maybe a pervert. Who knows?
He may be. He's got the sexual harassment claims out there. But today we got a big day here. Corey Johnson is a name I do think New Yorkers know. Councilman. Any of these folks that are running, Democrats and or Republicans, that you tend to like?
Yes.
Who's that?
Michelle Caruso Cabrera.
Well, this is what Frank told me this morning. She's a, I guess, conservative Republican. She seems to be the right choice.
She's a Democrat, but she definitely would be the right choice. She knows to win, she has to run on a Democrat ticket. She has to be, you know, has to have a D after her name, former CNBC person. But she says all the right things. She's she was born in Cuba. Again, people who were born into socialism, they know how horrible it is. They're hip to the garbage that's going on these days. So she is a clear top choice for people like me and I guess Frank Morano. But you also have Corey Johnson running. He's on the city council. And you have this other dude running. His name is Brad Lander. And I've seen commercials for him. It was a conga line of left-wing, socialist, America-hating, Jew-hating people, politicians, saying, "I'm with Brad Lander." It was AOC. It was Jerry Wadler. It was Senator Pocahontas. It was the leader of Hamas. They all were endorsing Brad Lander for city comptroller. And so you know that's the guy you don't want because, well, just look at who was endorsing him.
All right, there you have it. Again, the actual debate comes your way at 4 o'clock this afternoon. You can hear it live right here on WABC. And again, Dominic Carter. Saw Dominic on the boat on Sunday. You know, Dominic is the guy, of course, that introduced me to Wendy Williams.
How you doing? Yeah. I beat you to it, Meany. Listen, yeah, he was he sat in for you Friday morning.
Oh, he did.
Believe it or not, yes.
Okay, he's great. He's a great host.
He's such a nice guy.
He's a terrific guy. So that's
and a smart guy, and
all those things.
Right.
All those
things. He's a moderate. He's a Democrat, but he's not a crazy.
I don't even know what he is. That's how good he is. I couldn't even tell you if he was a Democrat, Republican. I have no idea. He's on Midnight every night, and every time we have one of these debates here at the station, he's kind of gotten the job as the moderator.
He's the go-to guy. He's Mr. Politics here at WABC Radio.
He is. Somebody sent me a text this morning when I was on Frank and Juliet. They said, "You seem like you're a bit salty today." I don't want to miss the show with you and Bernie. I don't miss it anyway, but
salty. Yeah. That means really like you're about to explode into profanity. Salty.
It could happen, or violence,
dirty talk, or something like that.
I could hit somebody.
Well, all right. Well, now we're straying from salty there. Now you sound a little grumpy.
Today is a rough day for me personally. I'll tell you why.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. Now
I know you.
I had forgotten. I saw it on Facebook last night.
Oh, you did.
I did, and I liked it, yes. Now I know.
All right, we'll get back to all of that, plus some more news of the day and the sports and all that good stuff. Intimated last segment that today's kind of a rough day for me, and it is. Today is June 9th, and June the 9th is my dad's birthday. So my dad died, of course, last year, July the 1st, and all of you were with me and Bernard, and the thousands and thousands and thousands of messages that I received were, it was overwhelming. I remember we sat shiver at my mom's house in upstate New York, and the boxes and the cards, the whole living room, it's a large living room, all filled up with flowers and boxes and cards. It was really beautiful. We did celebrate his birthday last year. Now, he was in a home in Liberty, New York, up by Monticello. We couldn't go visit him because of a multitude of reasons, COVID and that prick Andrew Cuomo. But we did FaceTime each other, me and my dad. We sang happy birthday. My kids sang to him. It was nice. He died about 3 weeks later. So this is the first birthday that my dad is not here in my 54 years on the planet. Oh, so it was a tough day.
He was a terrific individual by all accounts.
He loved you.
A terrific dad. And I miss him as well. And I never even met him. I just communicated with him over Facebook. But I saw the videotapes, the stories you have told from your childhood and the parties he threw and all these things. He was just a wonderful, wonderful individual and sorely missed.
Thank you for saying that. And it's been a really great year for me personally and professionally. And he's missed out. On a lot of things. I know you guys are always telling me he's watching you every day. He's listening every day. He never misses a Bernie and Sid show, which probably he never missed one of my shows in 20 years. Every day, I told you this, after the show was over, whether it was 640 Sports in Miami out of a broom closet in Pompano Beach or WFAN or here at WABC, every morning after the show, my dad would say, "Son, great show." And I haven't gotten that text in a long time. So anyway, happy birthday, Dad.
I miss you, and I love you.
Yes, we all love you, Harvey. Look, you take comfort. That's what religion is all about. You take comfort. You assume that he's watching. And, well, that's what you do. It's and life goes on. It's part of life. He lived a great life. You have to admit, he did live a great life.
No, he did.
He did see a lot of your success.
He did. Thank God.
Yes. Last year has been an amazing year for you, but he did see a lot of it, and there's something to be said for that. You know, I mean, he saw his kids grow up. He had grandkids.
Great grandkids.
Yeah.
A ton.
I mean, just a terrible way at the end to go out in the middle of a pandemic like that.
Terrible.
And not be able to see your family. But nevertheless, you dwell on the positive. I think that's the way to go.
Well, this
for your
told,
own well-being.
I was told last night, I was kind of sitting there and I was melancholy. And my son, Gabriel, came over and he said, what's the matter, Dad? And I said, well, tomorrow's Poppy's birthday. And he said, but you should celebrate tomorrow. You shouldn't be upset. You should celebrate
his
Poppy's
life.
Birthday. Right, celebrate his life. And I miss him, too, and all these types of things. I mean, you know, we've got the unveiling coming up in August in upstate New York. That is going to be absolutely brutal when they actually put the headstone into the ground. But outside of that, now we move on. And Gabe wanted me to celebrate, and I promised Gabe I would, and of course I've already failed. Took me 30 minutes to cry on the radio show, so it is what it is. I put a picture up on Facebook, Sid Rosenberg, my new Instagram account, which I hate.
I love that. I saw that.
You saw the picture?
Yeah, that's great.
Rosenberg.Sydney, and it was a picture of a birthday dinner we had at a restaurant in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which is now out of business because of the pandemic. Maikai is the name of the restaurant. I actually met Joan Amott there many, many years ago. And if you look at the picture, you can see my son Gabe pops up at the bottom of the picture.
Right.
What do you call that when you...
You ambush? What is it? Come on, Matt. You know.
Photobomb.
Photobomb.
Right. Gabe photobombed me and Harvey. So anyway, that's going to be with me most of today. And again, already I've received, when I say hundreds and hundreds of beautiful messages this morning, I'm not exaggerating. So thank you for that. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. I'm not such a tough guy after all. You, Joe Nolan, you're a tough guy. Not me.
No.
I'm not so tough.
No, not at all. I lost my dad 9 years ago, and I still reach for my cell phone to call him to tell him stuff.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's hard. It's just not, I feel really bad for you.
Oh, I feel better now. I think today, instead of John Catsimatidis, who I love dearly, and his wife Margot, instead of him paying me, I'll just pay him for that. And Bernie. Bernie has always been my therapist. It's like laying on the couch, man. Only difference is like millions of people listening right now in New York City. But I'm laying on the couch. I'm letting it out there, folks.
As you should.
That's it.
Why not? Why the hell not?
Right. I mean, we got the pulpit. We may as well use it. So if you're out there and you're going through some of what I'm going through today, just know you're not alone. So, you know, she says yesterday, Kamala Harris, in her response to being asked by Lester Holt why she hasn't gone to the border, she says, well, I haven't gone to Europe either, which is funny when you consider that today, for the first time during this mockery of a presidency, Joe Biden makes his first quote-unquote road trip, and he happens to be heading to Europe. Why not send her instead? She's dying to go.
Son of a bitch.
And she's pretty much, she was the one who was making all the phone calls to the foreign leaders in the initial stages of this administration, as you call the mockery of an administration. But yes, he's going to the UK. He will meet the Queen at Windsor Castle, and then a little bit later, travel to Sweden. I think the G7 is actually, not Sweden, Switzerland. And at that point, he will meet with Putin. And let's take it back to the 80s. I said this before. Biden versus Putin is like Urkel versus Tyson. Back in the 80s. I mean, Putin's going to run circles around this idiot.
I totally agree. 7 a.m. hour with Bernie and Sid on this Hump Day Wednesday. Coming back at you. John Waite, missing you at 7:06 on your Hump Day Wednesday morning back here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. You know, there's a magazine. It's an industry magazine. Bernie knows it well. It's called Talkers. Sweetheart of a guy. His name is Michael Harrison. He runs this thing. So every year they put on this annual event, the Talkers Magazine Conference, and they invite radio folks, big-time radio folks, guys like Sean Hannity, Mike Francesa, Bill O'Reilly, John Catsimatidis. They've been there just about every year, as I have. And it's coming up on Friday, this Friday, at Hofstra University, which is you take your life into your own hands, by the way. If you get lost 2 blocks away from Hofstra, it is terrifying. I remember a couple of years ago when Bernie and I did our show live.
It's the Hempstead.
Hempstead. We did our show live from the Trump-Hillary Clinton debate.
You better watch your ass.
I got lost. I was like, oh, my. And then there's the university. It's lovely. And Long Island, for the most part, is lovely. But my God.
If you have to show up for a traffic ticket or if you have to, if you want to apply for unemployment benefits, that's where you have to go.
Hempstead?
That right smack dab in the middle of ugliness. That's where you have to go. You park your car, and you look at your car, and you do the sign of the cross as you walk away and say, I hope it's still there when I leave, when I get back. I hope I get back in one piece.
But the school is great. In fact, your son went to that school.
Oh, yeah, he went to Hofstra, yeah. And as a matter of fact, Kellenberg is not far. But and they're only blocks away from that horrific, too close for comfort.
Right, I agree. But I will be there on Friday. I've got a 320 big conference deal. And they're going to have me speak on bringing a younger demographic to what is otherwise old man talk radio. How do you do it, Sid? How do you bring a younger demographic to old man talk radio? That's my big spiel coming up on Friday. And then I'm going to go from there. What a day I've got on Friday, Bernie, just so you know. I'm going to go from there, Hofstra, out to Flushing, Queens, to meet our dear friend Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, that's nice, yes.
Mets and Padres watching Jacob DeGrom pitch at, I still call it, Shea Stadium, Citi Field, Friday night, a romantic night at a Met game with Sid Rosenberg and Bill O'Reilly.
I don't know if it's romantic.
Very romantic. Very.
Well, I turned down the invitation so you two could be alone.
You son of a bitch.
Look, it's going to be fun, but honestly, you know, a Met game. I love Bill. You know I love Bill O'Reilly. I love him to death. He's going to engage on this tour we talked about. Cindy Adams had this. He's going to tour with Donald Trump.
What an amazing deal. Now, they've announced four cities so far. He wrote that book, of course, United States of Trump, a couple of years ago. And so far, they've announced four cities. No surprise, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, great Republican state. Houston, Texas, great Republican state. The other two cities they haven't announced yet, but if they do something in New York, let me tell you something. Maybe even bigger than BravoCon, which comes your way in October from Hudson Yards. This may be even bigger than that. O'Reilly and Trump somewhere in New York.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they'll do it.
It ain't going to happen here.
Because of the crowds. I mean, I heard Bill O'Reilly actually say this on BillO'Reilly.com. He doesn't need the aggravation of people protesting and, whatever they do in crazy People's Republic of New York and People's Republic of Massachusetts-type states. So, whatever. Either way, it's very exciting for Bill. And it got scant attention in the media because, well, they don't want to talk about President Trump, period. Or, I guess, Bill O'Reilly.
Right, but, either one.
He's still going to sell out. There's no doubt about it. Hey, look, yesterday, big news, huge news. They caught the murderer of that 10-year-old boy in Rockaway. They actually caught this guy. He would have been 11 yesterday. That's the day they caught the murderer. Of course, he was murdered over the weekend. And I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know who actually caught the killer?
Do I know who caught the killer?
Yeah.
Now, would I know this person personally? It's not Bo Dietl.
You might know the organization.
The organization?
Yeah, they're a bunch of racists.
Oh, the police!
The NYPD actually went out and caught the killer of a black 10-year-old kid.
No way.
They caught the killer. They actually stayed on the case. And it took them 2 days, and they're going to bring justice to the family of poor little
Carl Crackhead. I don't buy it.
What's his last name? Justin Williams? What's his last name?
I think so. He would have been 11 yesterday.
He would have been 11. It's horrible. And here's another tidbit for you. The murderer was not a white supremacist.
No kidding.
He was not a white supremacist.
He wasn't white at all.
No, just like the murderer of Davell Gardner, who's 2 years old, just like the murderer of Brandon Williams. Brandon Hendricks, Bronx.
Yeah, I think this kid's name was Wallace.
The murderers were not white supremacists, and yet you have the imbecile in chief saying that white supremacy is the biggest danger. I just thought I'd point that out.
No, it's good.
You
should point it out because not just the imbecile in chief, but on a much more local basis, as we get set for our big controller debate coming up this afternoon here at WABC at 4 o'clock. And it looks like Eric Adams will join us on Friday. Again, I had another three conversations with Eric Ulrich yesterday. He claims Eric Adams is not scared of me. He wants to come on. He calls me and Bernie, quote-unquote, his boys. So we'll see if he comes on Friday.
He is, he's going to win by a mile.
A mile.
According to
the latest
polls.
I told you that a couple of months ago. But Maya Wiley, did you see her commercial, her most recent commercial?
I don't think I have.
She just blasts the police. I mean, just blasts them.
Well, this idiot.
We've had enough of you. We've had enough of you. And we're tired of being murdered by you. I mean, what a piece of garbage.
She's a racist, A, and she apparently hates black people because she doesn't care about these black murder victims who are, she's demonizing the police, further endangering people in the inner city. Of inhibiting, intimidating cops to not get out of their cars and try to help people, try to help the inner city, the black community. So, you know, you have people like that 10-year-old boy getting shot and killed in Far Rockaway or Rockaway, wherever the hell it was, and all over the city, everywhere, and cities all over the place. You know, they call Minneapolis now, they call it Murderopolis. All because of Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. But anyway, it wasn't BLM, it wasn't LeBron, it wasn't Colin Kaepernick. Or wasn't the woke CEOs, the Coca-Cola guy, wasn't Roger Goodell or Rob Manfred, these cowards who care to pretend, you know, that they care for blacks. It was the NYPD, the racist NYPD that caught this kid's murderer yesterday. I just wanted to point that out because I think it's important. If it was the if it was anybody else, well, it would be all over the place. But the police get scant praise for what they do. Look, this other dummy, Kamala Harris, we talked about her a little bit earlier. She sat down with Lester Holt in Guatemala, and he's supposed to be a friendly interview. It's supposed to be an Access Hollywood type. Don't ask me any tough questions, but he did, and she didn't handle it well. Listen to this.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
Now, she's apparently she passed the bar out in, unless Willie Brown helped her cheat. I don't know. I mean, look, she slept her way to the top of California politics. She was picked on the basis of how she looks to
Correct.
Be vice president, because when she ran for the president, the Democrat nomination,
Oof.
She had to drop out. She was behind Beto O'Rourke and Sneaky Pete Buttigieg,
yeah, no, she was
for
terrible.
God's sakes. Nobody liked her. Nobody wanted her.
Nope.
But,
get her out!
But for some reason, they picked her, and I think it is because of her appearance.
You think so?
Yeah.
You're not sure?
Because the woman is a complete and total dummy.
Well, let me take
As a matter of fact, Britt Hume, who is a guy everybody respects, right?
Yeah,
you saw him on Tucker.
Yeah, he was great.
Listen, you have Britt Hume on this lady last night?
And by the way, it's not that I think she was picked. I'm going to go a step further than you. She was absolutely 1,000% without any debate picked because she's a woman and she's black. That's it. That's it.
That's the only reason,
that's 1,000%. Don't even bother
and
debating it.
I would
that's
never,
it.
Ever call her a bimbo because that would be too disrespectful to the office. But I would say what Britt Hume said last night. Take a listen to this.
What we have here is a woman who is a lightweight. She's useful for a purpose like this. You know, you pack her off to the border and you have her do a few things here and there. What there was no mention of was any real concrete current action that is being taken. It is all about, you know, we want to help these people. Well, that's fine. But how long will that take? In the meantime, how many more immigrants will pour across the border? And the suspicion grows, I think, that the reason that the Biden administration isn't really doing anything down on the border to enhance the enforcement down there is they don't really want to. That there's a feeling within the party that the more these people come and the more they get into this country, the more they will eventually become Democratic voters.
There you go. Britt Hume, she is a lightweight, and the motive behind the whole thing, the root cause is in Washington, D.C., not down in Guatemala or in El Salvador or any of those places. In fact, they're coming from all over the world now.
Everywhere.
Africa, the Middle East, even Romania.
Yeah. Just to add some context to the story, because, and Tucker did a great job with this, and so did us yesterday, specifically you, is that there was a lot of folks that were gushing over Kamala making this trip to Latin America because she is a woman. She's a woman of color. This is a big deal. This is exciting to send a woman like that, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, if you don't know this story, most of you do because you're very smart listeners. But if you don't know this story, when she arrived there, they hated her guts. Signs everywhere. Go home.
Yeah.
Trump won. Get out of here. They hated her guts. So all the talk for days about how exciting this was for America to send a woman, a black woman, an Asian woman to Latin America, how great this was going to be, really, really backfired.
They don't care about that sort of crap in the rest of the world. They really don't. It's only us self-flagellating, self-hating morons. We should be a merit-based society. We're not. We're obsessed with skin color and gender identity and all this crap. But listen, to your point earlier that she was picked because she was, because of the way she looks. First of all, it was Willie Brown who, she was Willie Brown's girlfriend. He's 2 years older than her father. And she slept with him while he was married, and he ushered her up to the top of California politics. Just go to nationalreview.com, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. That's not just Bernie, the gutter snipe on the radio, making these allegations. National Review, Rich Lowry's National Review. Check that out. But you had Willie Brown do that. But also, now the speculation that it was Obama who made the pick for her to be Joe Biden's vice president, even though she called Joe Biden a racist and non-Dr. Jill Biden called her an MF-er after she called him a racist. Right. So they didn't like her. But Obama made the call. So anyway, Obama was perving on her back in when he was president. And Andrea Mitchell actually did a report on NBC about Obama perving on Kamala. Listen.
When is telling a woman she's good looking not a compliment? Perhaps when the woman is California's top law enforcement officer, a possible future Attorney General of the United States,
good morning,
even a potential Supreme Court nominee.
Attorney General. The American dream belongs to all of us.
And the person delivering the compliment is the President of the United States. It all started with an ad-libbed comment at a private fundraiser in California Thursday. Mr. Obama praised California Attorney General Kamala Harris, a longtime friend of his and Michelle Obama's, as a tough administrator of the law who gives everyone a fair shake. But then Mr. Obama added, she also happens to be by far the best-looking attorney general in the country.
Kamala Harris is the best-looking attorney general in the country.
Oh, boy.
So there may be something there.
Who knows? I don't know.
I don't know. Michelle, what do you think?
Oh, you don't want to mess with Michelle.
Shelly?
You don't want to mess. I can,
oh, no, you didn't, I Barack. Can, oh, no, you didn't.
I can see that picture of her face right now. Forget about Kamala Harris. He was perving on that white, blonde-haired woman at Nelson Mandela's funeral.
I believe it was the Danish be the president or prime minister.
Remember Michelle's face?
Yeah. She was. And also, he did the doggy dance with Tommy Mottola's Mexican girlfriend.
Yes, he did.
He was actually, I don't know if you know, but a doggy dance. He's behind her, grinding all up on her at a White House function. And Michelle's sitting there with her arms crossed looking at it.
Oh, boy. Hey, a lot to get to this morning, too, outside the world of politics, including the Yankees and Mets both back in action last night. They were both back in action. And a Good Morning America host talking about a giant football coach that passed away in Las Vegas yesterday. We've got all that on this Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
You don't have to have eight women around you twerking.
The power of information.
No one will care, girl. Look at the stars now, so far away.
Kenny Rogers and Sheena Easton pops in here. We've got tonight at 7:29 on your Wednesday morning. Reminder, folks, download the 77 WABC app or listen online at WABCradio.com. To listen to us on Alexa, simply say, Alexa, enable the 77 WABC skill. We are simulcast. Yes. We're on FM radio, Talk Radio 107.1 out on Eastern Long Island. You can follow Bernie and Sid on Twitter, at Bernie and Sid. I haven't tweeted personally now, at Sid Rosenberg, in over a month. Instagram, at It's Bernie and Sid, at It's Bernie and Sid. My new Instagram is at Rosenberg.Sydney, at Rosenberg.Sydney. And all three of us, Bernie, Sid, and the show, have a Facebook page, which we do, but Donald Trump doesn't.
You know, the New York Post has a story. We played this clip yesterday. We'll play it again now. This schmuck, her name is Mara Gay.
Yes.
And they talk in the New York Post article about how she's an MSNBC contributor. Of course, I'll play what she said, which is just pretty disgusting. But she is also, the New York Post should know this, she is part of the New York Times editorial board. I mean, she ain't no lightweight, this lady, Mara Gay. They've elevated her to quite a position, but she's apparently triggered by the sight of American flags when she's out in my neck of the woods, Long Island. Listen to this.
I was on Long Island this weekend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden, Trump flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing.
Did you hear what she said?
What is that? Disturbing?
No. Did you hear, even before we get to that, explicatives?
Yeah, she did say that.
Explicatives.
Yeah.
This woman is on the editorial board of the New York Times.
She's an idiot. That's what she
expletives
is.
Expletives or explicatives.
She's an idiot.
It wasn't a. She didn't mispronounce it.
Yeah.
You're
right. But they just the content.
The New York Times goes. They put out a statement. They say it was taken out of context.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, really?
No, it wasn't.
What context was that?
Yeah.
If you're triggered by the American flag, lady, you hate this country. You know what? I'm sick and tired of these privileged, spoiled skunks like her. You know what? GTFO. Leave the country. Get the hell out.
Right.
Get out.
Go
somewhere else.
Mommy.
Tucker made this point, too, last night, and you and I made this point yesterday, before Tucker, and that is that these BLM flags, this terrorist, Marxist, awful organization, and stop telling me that you're all for the we get it. We don't need somebody to remind us that black people matter, you morons. We know black people matter.
BLM in small letters, absolutely.
Don't even say that.
The organization is stupid.
The whole thing is stupid.
It's not only stupid, it's dangerous.
The whole thing is stupid. We don't need a Jewish People Matter organization. We know Jews matter.
These
we know Asians
people.
Matter. We know blacks matter. Stop with the
exactly.
stupid.
Exactly.
It's stupid. But they're flying these BLM flags all over the country.
The globe. Embassies all over the globe.
BLM flags. And this lady's pissed off about the American flag.
She's stupid. Now, Tucker made the point that the world is laughing at us. They see our weakness, that we're screaming out how weak we are, how we succumb to such internal pressure by these spoiled Marxist terrorists who are the most privileged people in the world, that we're flying their flag. It's a political organization, and that wimp, Secretary Blinken.
Oh, the worst.
What a little weenie, the one who got bitch slapped in Alaska by the Chinese.
Yeah.
They're all laughing at us. They're testing us right now. They're laughing at us. They're hacking our stuff all over the place. I mean, this is just the beginning.
I think Tucker called Blinken a loser last night. I was a little surprised. He was getting kind of vicious.
He is. Well, he should, because this is serious stuff. I mean, they can do a lot of damage in 4 years.
They already have.
They already have. You're right.
In 4 months.
Absolutely.
Forget about 4 years, 4 months. They are turning this country upside down, and we have become the laughing stock of the world. It was not Trump, because even if they found Trump somewhat amusing, they were scared to death of what Donald would do to make sure that America came first. These idiots? Good luck.
Yeah. They're full of crap.
You don't like it here, by the way? Again, this was what used to be said back in the 60s and 70s, and I'm reprising it right here. Get the hell out. Go somewhere else. Love it or leave it. At least like it or leave it. But don't.
I got to hand it to Bernie.
Don't trash it and then try to stay here and reap the benefits of it, because it is the greatest country in the history of the universe ever. And you're sitting there and you're angry. What are you angry about? Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, all these people. Folks, these million people.
I sound angry, too, but I should be.
We both of us are. Million people at the border.
Even Omar. You had stupid Omar
yesterday. Again, yes. This was
a refugee that we took in.
Yeah.
She was like down on her luck. We took her in. She elevated her to the position of a congresswoman. And this is the type of gratitude we get. She calls us a terrorist nation.
Well,
shut up, lady. Get out.
What's funny is that what are these million people doing at the border? They're coming here for a better life.
Right.
Right, they're coming here.
What does that
here.
Tell you? What does that tell you?
Tells you everything.
Absolutely. They're not going anywhere else, because there's no other country that's stupid to leave their border open, A. But B, we are, again, the best quality of life country in the history of the universe. Hey, Sid is coming right back with sports traffic as well. But now it's time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Greg Kelly, weekday afternoons, 1:15 to 3. Greg thinks de Blasio, well, he's got to be stoned.
What's going through de Blasio's head right now? He's obviously the worst mayor in the history of mayors. He is so bad. He's got to be stoned. I've heard that rumor for a long time, and there's that the only way to explain why this guy seems merry and content as the whole city has collapsed around him is he's got to be on something. He's got to be, which, you know, When I first heard that rumor in like 2012, 2013, that he was a big stoner, I thought, wow, if anybody finds that out, he's doomed, right? That's a scandal. Look at where we are now. If he put out a tweet saying, yeah, I'm a pot smoker, I enjoy it, I don't think people would be even talking about that by dinner time.
Yep, he's high and he's stupid. Greg Kelly's not, though. He's on 115 to 3 every day.
And if you are interested, I should say, the first is unbelievable. Saw this yesterday, couldn't believe it. The first Broadway show to return is Springsteen on Broadway. Believe it or not, that's the first one. Coming up June 26th, Bruce Springsteen, right there, Human Touch. The first Broadway show to reopen. So Chaz Palminteri, if you're listening, Chaz, we had this huge fight at dinner. I have a lot of people who saw it. It was at Empire Steakhouse, Jack's place. And I said, listen to me, Chaz. Broadway will be back this summer. He said, Sid, I love you, baby. You know a lot of stuff. You're out of your league on this one. He had his show, A Bronx Tale, on Broadway. No chance. There is no chance. They got to fill these houses. You'll be lucky to get Broadway in next fall.
We are recovering at warp speed, if you know what I'm saying.
Nobody
expected it.
No, I did.
Yeah, you were the exception because we call you Sid Nostradamus Rosenberg.
That's right.
But the one-man show is easy to put together.
Yes, that's true, too.
It's one guy stands out there.
Right.
To get a bunch of dancers dancing around and
much more
stage hands and all that stuff.
Well, you're right.
And probably Springsteen like that will sell out.
It'll
be easy. That's an easy one. But you did call it.
I did call
Chaz,
it.
Chaz, Sid is... Sid is dissing you right now.
That's it. You got to pay up.
He
said he would take me for dinner.
Bro.
So, but by the way, I'm a chaza because he takes such good care of me at his own restaurants. One other note, I keep finding something to make me happy that I got double vaccinated, right? I mean, everywhere I go, well, you can go to a game even if you're not vaccinated. You just can't sit in the vaccinated section. I want to see stuff that makes it exclusive. Because I went to Maimonides Hospital and I got my two shots, I want to do stuff that other people can't do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I found it. The first Broadway show is Bruce Springsteen, June 26th. The first show at Madison Square Garden, the Foo Fighters. I love the Foo Fighters. Love them. Coming up June 20th. You can only go if you're vaccinated.
Well, there you go.
So there you go.
But that's, isn't that totalitarian?
Of course it is.
I mean, they wouldn't do that in Florida. They're not allowed to. They would fine you.
No, I understand.
In Florida, $5,000 per person.
And I love Ron DeSantis, and that's great. But again, if I had to go through this nonsense, and there are people out there that stick at my face, even Trump supporters, like, I'm not doing this. You complied. I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't go because I thought I was going to die. I went because I want to go see the Foo Fighters because I can go and you can't. I'm not going to see the Foo Fighters anyway, but you know what I'm saying, bro.
I hear you, bro. Hey, listen, there is some good news, something we've been talking about a lot, and it's gotten a lot of traction lately. We had the lady, Tatiana Ibrahim, who actually had another school board meeting last night. But there's more and more people coming out now fighting back against this unbelievable sick poison that Obama dismissed. Now the Republicans' biggest threat is this critical race theory. What is that? Oh, yeah? Well, look it up, stupid. You don't know? You know. There was a teacher at a school called the Dwight Englewood School in Bergen County. She quit because they're teaching the racism in school. And the principal is a guy named Joe Algrant. The principal of Dwight Englewood School, he's abusing kids, allowing their minds to be poisoned. He's allowing it. Joe Algrant, the principal of Dwight Englewood, the teacher quit. We'll get to her in a minute. But as far as parents fighting back, down in Loudoun County, another regular mom, got up in front of the microphone and said, listen, we're not having this anymore. And she was great.
Parents, the longer that you wait and you don't hold your child's schools accountable gives these guys more time to dictate what's best for your child's physical, mental, and emotional health. Don't be afraid to speak out for your kids because they are voiceless and they rely on you. You should be afraid of them rooting for socialism by the time they get to middle school. Teachers, it may seem that our careers have come to a dead end, but I'm here to remind you we don't work for the school board. We work to mold the next generation of well-rounded American patriots. So don't give up because it is up to us. Students.
So she's actually a teacher. She's a teacher speaking out. God bless this lady. And she's right. They're teaching kids, again, to go home and hate your parents,
yeah.
Hate society, hate yourself. You know, show contempt for your parents, call them racist. But she also...
Well, hold on, but I want to tell you that now I've been able to turn that around because I'm an exceptional father, exceptional, as you are. So Gabe has completely come around. Ava is coming along slowly. But I do have friends. I do have friends that are having a very difficult time. Like, they're freaking out. Like, their daughters have come home and said, you're a racist. And
it's bad.
They don't know what to do.
It's a joke.
They don't know what to do.
And for, that's why Obama, to blow it off and say it's not occurring. Like, what are you kidding me? It's pervasive. All pervasive in all public schools. And even these private schools, which we'll get to in a second. But the same teacher also exhorted now students to speak out in class. Yeah. Listen to her.
Students.
Oh, but stop to say, at the end, she gets cut off. Just so bear with us. She gets cut off and right. Then a rousing applause. Listen.
Students, you are on the front lines of these indoctrination camps. Challenge the staff when you are presented with a ludicrous statement and do not allow anybody to tell you that you cannot accomplish anything because of your skin color or to hate yourself because of your skin color. Students, it is up to you to be the next generation of victims or victors. And finally, to the board, this isn't over and your policies are just as
pathetic as making us wear masks. Nick Gothard, followed by Ryan.
So there you go. And she's right. Speak up. I remember even when I was in college, for example, I couldn't believe what the professors were saying. And I spoke up. The first time I spoke up was when they were telling us that the United States was the bad guy when they dropped the bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Then I said, excuse me, what? And I started debating right. the professor. And then from then on, the rest of my college years, I did so. But look, this teacher, again, at Dwight Englewood School in Bergen County.
I know the school.
She's an English teacher.
Yeah.
And a poet as well. Her name is Dana Stengel Plow. She quit. She's like,
good,
I'm sick of this. This is garbage.
Good.
And again, the principal, Joe Algrant is the principal of the school. He's abusing these kids, poisoning their minds. But this is what the teacher said, why she quit.
Today I am resigning from a job that I love. My name is Dana Stengel Plow. I became an English teacher at Dwight Englewood School 7 years ago because as a parent, I loved how the school both nurtured and challenged my own children. But over the past few years, the school has embraced an ideology that is damaging to our students' intellectual and emotional growth, an ideology that requires students to see themselves not as individuals, but as representatives of either an oppressor or oppressed group.
Unbelievable.
Great job.
Dwight
great job.
Englewood School. And again, Joe Algrant is the principal allowing all this. She said more, though. You got to listen to this. Take a listen.
Last fall, administrators told us we were not allowed to question the school's ideological programming. And on at least two separate occasions, our head of school even went so far as to tell the entire faculty that he would fire all of us if he could, so that he could replace us all with people of color.
What?
In our school, the opportunity even to hear competing ideas is practically non-existent. Sadly, as a result, the school is leading many to become true believers and outspoken purveyors of a regressive and illiberal orthodoxy.
Hey, Joe Algrant out in Bergen County. Anybody know this guy, Joe Algrant?
I don't know him.
Joe Algrant, what are you doing to these kids? Why are you abusing these kids' minds like that? What are you doing, Joe Algrant?
If you know Joe Algrant, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Joe Algrant, while we're calling him out, you may as well also call out the commissioner here in New York, the police commissioner, who demands, I think, about $250,000, who for some reason, when this idiot mayor, who has no idea how to stop crime in this city, has no idea, he admits it, he's like, I don't know. He has these crime press conferences, and who should be standing right next to him? Dermot Shea. He never shows up. He skipped another presser yesterday.
I saw that he's ducking, but maybe he's making a statement. He doesn't want to be associated because he is being handcuffed by the aforementioned buffoon de Blasio. It may be that he's making a statement. He's distancing himself from this creep de Blasio.
But we didn't give Jimmy O'Neill that benefit of the doubt.
Well, he didn't distance himself. He was a complete and total in his back pocket stooge of de Blasio.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on with Dermot Shea. I don't know. I don't know how anybody in there with any self respect can work for Bill de Blasio, but somebody has to, I guess.
We need
a police commissioner, and he's the guy. He's the hapless police commissioner right now. handcuffed because of the laws that Governor Cuomo, the defunding the police and all everything, you know it.
No, he's in a tough spot. You make a very, very fair point. That's why Michael Goodwin wrote his column in today's New York Post, which is, we need a mayor, whether it's Curtis Sliwa, Eric Adams, any one of these folks, that is anti-Bill de Blasio. As long as you're anti-Bill de Blasio, we want you as a mayor here in New York. We have a lot more to come on this program today. All the news and sports, all that good stuff. More of Bernie and Sid on a Wednesday right after this.
Donald John Trump incited the erection.
What a great song.
Isn't that a great song,
that's
folks?
That's not the original one, but that's it's still a great song.
It's not? B.J. Thomas?
No. I mean, no, not his original one.
Oh, okay.
This is him reprising it.
Big day today, Bernard. 77 WABC presents New York City's first comptroller primary debate. Comes your way this afternoon with Dominic Carter as your moderator. The debate begins at 4:15. You can stream it and watch it live on WABCRadio.com. That's very cool. Or download the 77 WABC app and listen wherever you are. That's from New York's talk leader. That's us. We are Talk Radio 77 WABC.
You know, B.J. Thomas passed away. He passed away while you were on vacation.
Is that right? Last week?
Out. May 29th.
Wow. I didn't know that. No.
Yeah.
They don't tell you. Where I am, they don't tell you about people dying. It's too celebratory there.
Too celebratory?
Yes. It's like everybody's happy there. They're snorkeling and swimming and diving and helicopter rides. And they don't talk about death.
Well, here's the harsh reality.
Yeah. Welcome back to New York.
he lived to 78, though. That was a pretty damn good song. Look, the big comptroller debate today here on 77 WABC. I saw a commercial for this guy, Brad Lander.
I saw a sticker for Brad Lander stuck on one of the offices here. It's like on Dave LaBrosi's door or something.
Excuse me, what?
That's their green rooms for the day, I believe. So,
anyway, they have this commercial, and you have a conga line of these left-wing Jew-hating radicals, AOC, Senator Pocahontas, Jerry Wadler, all of them saying, I stand with Brad Lander.
Oh, my God.
So you know. He's got to be the worst of the bunch.
There you go. No doubt about it. Hey, Kamala Harris took a severe beating last night. Joe Biden's on his way to Europe, and the Yankees finally get a win. Got all that coming your way. It's Bernie and Sid on a Wednesday.
When we're all alone, keep it up, girl.
See, here's a woman that was never really gorgeous, but for some reason Stevie Nicks did it for me forever. Forever. Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac, Sarah, as we start hour number three on this Wednesday morning of the best talk show, not just in New York City, but around the country, the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. So, Bernie, you're talking about this teacher in Bergen County. Well, as we know, yesterday was the primary for governor in the state of New Jersey. And we talked yesterday about a guy that we wanted to win. His name is Jack Citarelli. And as it turns out, our very own John O'Halloran is, what is your title for this show, John? What do you do exactly?
I guess you could call me a call screener.
Okay. Well, you also get me McDonald's every morning.
That's true.
And when I go, well, you fill in on sports.
I do, yeah.
Right. So you're almost
a utility guy.
Yeah, that's perfect. You're like
the
Jose.
I play every position in the infield.
There you go. So you took this thing so seriously, which we're happy to hear, Bernie and I, that you actually made your way out to vote yesterday, didn't you?
I did, yeah. The Woodbridge Community Center is on my drive back home, and I stopped by to vote in the primary.
And you voted for?
Wow. Jack Citarelli.
There you go. So this is the guy that we hope to God replaces Murphy. You know, listen, we're on record, Bernie and I. We don't sugarcoat things. We don't like this Murphy. We don't like this Cuomo. We don't like this Wolf in Pennsylvania. We don't like a bunch of folks. Whitmer in Michigan. She's a mayor, not a governor, but Lightfoot in Chicago. Newsom in California. We don't like this Murphy guy. So does Sid really have a chance to actually beat him, Bern? What are your people telling you?
My people, they're texting me. They're emailing me. They're phoning me. Look, there's a million more Democrats in New Jersey than there are Republicans. Ouch. But after the pandemic and the way he botched it, and again, he has the same nursing home problem, does Phil Murphy, that Governor Cuomo has. He's just flown under the radar because he didn't flaunt himself. But the chances, look, Governor Christie won.
That's true. So, very good point.
After this pandemic, I think all bets are off the table. The mishandling of the pandemic, the overreaction to it, again, following bad advice with masks and lockdowns and ruining economies and businesses, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Murphy's damaged goods.
Good.
All my friends in Jersey are Republicans. North Hallandale, Montvale, Paramus, that whole area. What do you got for me, John?
So I'll tell you why he has a chance. And I saw this stat yesterday. In over 50 years, New Jersey has not elected a Democratic governor to a second term.
That's right. Since Brendan Byrne, as a matter of fact, in 1977. Very John O'Halloran.
Oh, the great Brendan Byrne Arena where the New Jersey Nets used to play. In that Meadowlands complex.
Right.
So he's the last one, huh?
The burial place of Jimmy Hoffa, right?
Well, they say that he was buried in the end zone at Giant Stadium.
Oh, there. Okay. Yeah. One of those jokes.
Yeah, one of those places. But nevertheless, we're going to get Citarelli on the show because he's our new guy. He's our Bob Eugen of 2022.
He is, yes. hey, listen, you saw that Hunter Biden with the N-word came out yesterday?
I did see that.
No, so maybe that's the systemic racism that Joe has been talking about.
But he did.
You're a loser.
He did end it with an A.
Oh, so it's okay. So let me hear you say it.
Are you crazy?
It's okay.
Are you crazy?
So is it okay or is it not okay?
No, listen, I don't think it's okay for black people to say it. I've told you that.
He ended it with an A.
Yeah. That's how you get away with it.
True that, ninja.
Right.
He's invoking, alluding to Hennessy. Some sort of a ghetto thing. A lot of blacks apparently drink Hennessy in his mind,
listen,
I think.
No matter what this guy does, say the N-word, smoke crack, this guy was banging his brother who was dying, banging his brother's wife.
No, he was dead by that point.
Oh, you sure he was dead?
Oh, positive.
I think he started banging her before.
Nope.
That would have been even worse.
It was his dead brother's widow.
Let's go with before. It's even worse. He was on his deathbed. He started banging the guy's wife. How do you get lower than that?
Yeah. In fact, one of Bo's kids was conceived with Hunter.
What?
I'm just kidding. I'm going along with your narrative. And just taking it a step further. No, it was the widow for sure. But either way, it was just absolutely the most sleazy,
disgusting. He's a lowlife. He really is. We had this discussion last night, and that is, and you say this all the time, and you're right. Could you imagine if Eric Trump, or Donald Trump Jr., used that N-word or did the things that Bo did, Hunter did, banging his dead brother's wife and crack and all these things? You'd never hear the end of it. I mean, those were good kids. Those are good kids, Eric and Donald Trump Jr., and all they did was get vilified by the press.
Exactly right, yeah. Imagine, though, if that you would see that graphic all over. We have a monitor with CNN on all morning long. I don't know why, but we do. I have to look at whoever the loser is on CNN all morning long. Sid faces the Fox TV.
Yeah,
I face the CNN TV.
But I also get MSNBC straight ahead. Get Joe and Mika, who I think are worse than anybody even on CNN.
You're probably right about that. Either way. Don Trump Jr. or Eric Trump, they'd be splashed all over the TVs this morning if this was either one of the Trump kids. And that's with Trump out of office, if he was in office right now. And just remember, Hunter Biden got away with murder, just about. I mean, forget the sleazy stuff, the crackhead stuff, the posing, maybe even child pornography, a pedophilia, who knows. But he got away with filling out an application for a gun and lying about it. He got in the Navy on false pretenses, got kicked out in no time flat because he failed drug tests. He was still using cocaine. He was in his 40s. I mean, it was not long ago. The dad worked out some weasel deal, somewhat similar to how Pete Buttigieg got in the Navy. He didn't go through boot camp, just the normal processes. I don't know how the hell they did it, but they did. And that's Hunter Biden. And so he's gotten away with crimes, of course, selling out this country with his dad, making all that money, $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow, and they're accusing Trump of colluding with Russia. They don't talk about it. Hunter Biden is just, he's Teflon, he's a Teflon.
He really is.
A sleazeball.
He really is. But all these guys are. Andrew Cuomo is a Teflon sleazeball.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Fauci.
Hillary Clinton.
So far.
How about Hillary Clinton? You want to talk about a Teflon sleazeball. So it just goes to show you that if you're a Democrat, crime pays. That's the bottom line.
Apparently.
Crime pays.
Apparently. Hey, listen, they also came out yesterday, a quote-unquote bipartisan Senate panel on the investigation into what happened on January 6th.
Oh, you mean the insurrection?
Yeah, the armed insurrection.
Right.
Right, in which nobody was charged with insurrection. And the only person, nobody had a gun, and the only person shot was a Trump supporter.
That was it.
It was horrific. But
shot and killed.
A couple of videotapes have surfaced. One of them is of a guy screaming at the cops saying, why are you allowing these people to go into the Capitol? I mean, there are a lot of unanswered questions that were not answered yesterday by this panel, nor would it have been answered by Pelosi's 9/11 style commission on January 6th. Would not have been answered. It's stacked. The deck is stacked with a bunch of Trump haters, leftists. They're not looking for the real root causes of this. Like, why did Nancy Pelosi turn down protection offered before January 6th?
When she knew this was going to happen, and she knew that this was a possibility literally a month before.
Yes.
She knew it. She knew it.
By the way, this is Anderson Cooper. As late as this is last Thursday night.
Good evening. 150 days since the worst single act of political violence since the Civil War, and the man who incited it is crying about being kept off social media.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So here's the audio of the guy screaming at the cop. Why are you allowing these people to go in? Do your job. They're not doing anything. Why did they allow it? Listen.
Why are you letting this happen? Why haven't you called for backup? Where is your backup? This is our damn Capitol building, and y'all are letting it get destroyed on your watch.
So, I mean, look, that is damning audio videotape. I mean, that's unbelievable. And also, there's a videotape that's come out of a cop telling these protesters, including the guy with the horns, who's still, I think he's in solitary confinement. I think he's about to be executed. I don't know. At this point, in this age of no cash bail, they have hordes of people still in solitary confinement.
Like 400,
yeah,
I think.
For trespassing. But anyway, the guy with the horns and a couple of other guys, the Capitol Police tell him, you can come in here if you're peaceful. Listen.
The police here are willing to work with us and cooperate peacefully, like our First Amendment allows. Gather more Americans under the condition that they will come and gather peacefully to discuss what needs to be done to save our country.
One other or the other. This is a show. You understand?
Yes.
To show us no attacking, no assault, remain calm.
We're not going to assault.
There you go.
We're going to be heard.
Remain calm, the cops are telling them. Okay, you promise us, right? Yes, okay, well, then go ahead.
Unbelievable.
Now, I mean, look, who are these cops that allowed it? Why did they allow it? Why did the other cops stand down who the guy was screaming at? And who the hell shot Ashley Babbitt?
Right, and killed
her. Why can't we find that out?
We should find that out.
I mean, good Lord. And AOC, of course, this little weasel, worm, lying, Jew-hating, America-hating, well, I'll call her a lowlife. Anyway, she said this about January 6th. Now, remember, She was not in the Capitol building at all.
Right. But she claimed the life was in danger.
Totally lied about it. But listen to this.
You have this transition period of escalating violence, which really culminated on the 6th, for which, you know, was an extraordinarily traumatizing event that's not really being discussed. It's politically sensitive. You know, no one wants to say, oh, boo-hoo. But there are members of Congress that served in war.
So you're doing therapy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm doing therapy, but also
I've just slowed down.
I think the Trump administration had a lot of us, especially Latino communities, in a very reactive mode.
Please shut up. I'm begging you. Just shut up.
Go help grandmoms. Spend some money. Help your grandmoms out. Stop whining. Stop preening. Stop grandstanding. And stop lying.
So on a less serious note, I spent my time last night going back and forth. I watched Tucker, of course. I love Tucker. But I also watched The Real Housewives of New York because I'm caught up in this. Our former colleague and coworker, Ebony Williams, is a big deal, I guess. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, she's talking to Luann. She gets in a fight with the Countess, gets angry, and Luann said, "You're angry," and Ebony's response was basically, "Don't ever call a black woman angry." And it turned into a whole race argument, all of them, you know, Ramona, all these geniuses. This was some Mensa meeting. You got to see this. This is some Mensa meeting.
Not really.
Oh, my God. And it turned into a big, big deal. So that's what I was watching. But I know you and your family, you guys actually watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and there's a huge controversy. No, do you know about this?
My wife, Carol, and my daughter, Melanie, they religiously watch The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. The guy, Chris Harrison, yeah, I've talked about this before, and even played the clips.
He's the host, right?
He was the host.
Okay.
Now, there was a contestant who, by the way, she was vying to date, it was The Bachelor. She was vying to date a black guy, right? I believe he picked her. Ultimately, he picked her, and so it turns out a video surfaced or audio surfaced of her attending some antebellum costume party while she was in college. Okay, antebellum, pre-Civil War for the New York City public school kids. That's what that means. So pre-Civil War, in other words, when slavery existed, yeah. Sort of.
I thought you can't say that word anymore because even Lady Antebellum, the popular country duo, they're now just called Lady A.
Well, it just technically means before the Civil War.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So she attended that, and for that, she was excoriated. She was maligned. They were going to kick her off the show or something. Apparently, they had taped too many shows already by that point. But Chris Harrison, the guy who was the moderator for years and years now, and everybody loves this guy, he said, look, he told somebody on one podcast, he said, you should show a little grace to her. She was a girl in college. Take it easy on the girl, right? Remember that? And they suspended him. Well, it turns out yesterday the firing is official. But
just got fired.
But remember this, though, the way he groveled, to no avail. It always reminded me of Imus groveling to Al Sharpton.
Yes.
To no avail. He still
after the Rutgers incident.
Right. Still got fired. But anyway, this was Harrison groveling to your boy, Michael Strahan, who wasn't having any of it. Listen.
I am saddened and shocked at how insensitive I was in that interview with Rachel Lindsay. And I didn't speak from my heart, and that is to say I stand against all forms of racism, and I am deeply sorry. I'm sorry to Rachel Lindsay, and I'm sorry to the black community.
That was really bad. And all he said was ask for a little grace for the girl, but one quick one. This was Strahan rejecting this groveling on the part of Harrison.
His apology, but it felt like it got nothing more than a surface response on any of this. And obviously, he's the man who wants to clearly stay on the show, but only time will tell if there is any meaning behind his words.
Thumbs down.
I like
Thumbs
Michael
down
Strahan.
From the gallery. Yeah,
I like him better when he's talking about Jim Possel, like he did yesterday. And we'll play that for you coming up at 8:30. That was actually very nice from Michael Strahan. Also, don't forget, we got Beat Bernie coming up at 9:40. Your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. But coming up next, Lydia Reports with Lydia Serrani, only right here on Bernie and Sid.
These are a bunch of scumbags.
New York's home. This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
This report is sponsored by the Russian Tea Room. Are you on a budget and need to impress business partners or have a special occasion? The Russian Tea Room offers the ultimate iconic experience, a three-course meal for only $55. Check them out at the Russian Tea Room NYC.com.
Love that place.
Yeah, it's a fantastic. It's so beautiful. We've been talking about the Unmask Our Children on and on, right? And it's kind of getting now out of control. But, you know, Friday they issued the directive, right? Howard Zucker, Dr. Death, he sends out this notice saying, hey, you know what? Kids don't have to wear masks indoors. So then over the weekend, you had several districts out in Long Island. Massapequa was one of them. They said, you know what? We've decided we're going to make the masks optional. Then come Monday, Cuomo has his press conference and he says, you know what? We're going to have the kids wear the masks now because we haven't hit that 70% vaccination threshold. They've hit 68.6%. So he's just being, you know, a jerk.
So 70% is where they're going to allow the kids to go maskless to school?
He said to drop all COVID restrictions.
Everything's gone.
That's what he said.
70%.
But here's the thing I wanted to mention real quick because I don't want to go on. There's a new study that came out from the Cleveland Clinic. They analyzed 53,000 people, and some of those people were vaccinated and some acquired natural immunity because
Bingo.
They had COVID.
Bingo.
And guess what happened? Guess what the difference between their immunity and their response to COVID-19 was? Guess what the difference was?
Nothing.
Zero.
No. So you add them together and we have reached herd immunity. It's over.
It's over.
It's been over for the better part of 4 months. If we're going to be honest about this and go to the science, it's not over today. It wasn't over last week.
It's
4 months.
It's still over today. Right now, today,
yes.
They should not
it's
be
over.
Wearing masks.
It's
so,
over.
So, but,
it's over.
But they issued that directive on Friday. And then
Friday, then Monday, Cuomo's like, no, what's the confusion, this and that. So then Massapequa, they said, according to the school board, they claim that Cuomo's administration said, if you guys don't put the masks back on your kids, we're going to force the children into remote learning, remove school board members from elected office, terminate the superintendent of schools and contact the school district's insurance carrier to end coverage.
Oh my God.
Now listen, I can tell you in New Jersey,
Il Duce still lives.
He still lives. In New Jersey, we talked about Citarelli winning and hopefully beating Phil Murphy. So I had to take the train to New Jersey a couple of days ago. So I took the Jersey Transit, Penn Station, and went to Secaucus, then another stop in New Jersey. So I get on the train, and I'm not wearing a mask because I've been double vaccinated. And not only did I get yelled at, and I showed them my double vaccination card, they said, it doesn't matter. The state law is you must wear a mask, even if vaccinated, on all of the trains until September the 13th. And the guy goes, and let me tell you something, brother. You're lucky I'm a nice guy, because if I wasn't, most of the guys who work in this position, they would kick you off the train the next stop. And I was like, nowhere near home. Nowhere near home. He's like, they would kick you off the train the next stop. Wow. You must wear the mask on New Jersey Transit, even if you're vaccinated, up until September the 13th.
What happened to follow the science? What happened to that? What happened? Look, everybody has the availability of the vaccine. It's available to everybody. Either you get it and you're fine, or you don't get it and you take a chance. If you want to take a chance, and you're not really taking that much of a chance, because there's not that many people left that can transmit the virus. So
no.
Either way, it's a free country, right? It's supposed to be anyway. But these petty tyrants, they can't let go.
Right. It's a form of control. And then according to the Massapequa School Board Vice President Janine Caramore, this is what she says. So I put together a little montage. You'll hear her first. Then you'll hear a student, a Massapequa student, saying she can't wear the mask anymore. It's 90-something degrees.
Yes.
And then you'll also hear a parent saying, just basically, this is tyranny. Take a listen.
Absolutely, it's taken as a threat. Everyone's outraged. Our entire community is outraged. This isn't how government should operate.
I hate wearing the mask in school because I feel like I can't breathe.
Crazy confusion and BS tyranny, so that's what it is, you know, unfortunately, and we shouldn't have to go through this.
So right. And you know who is a Democrat, by the way, and has done the right thing all along throughout the pandemic, is my county executive, Nassau County Executive, Laura Curran.
That's
right. She's been saying the right things, standing up to Cuomo, and on this issue as well. She says school boards and parents should be making the decisions, not the state government, not the higher officials.
Can somebody
Laura Curran, baby.
Absolutely. Can somebody explain to me that we now know, based on the science, the Cleveland Clinic, which is a premier academic medical institution, saying that if you have acquired immunity from COVID-19, or if it be natural, or if you got it from the vaccine, and then you're resistant to it. So we know that we've far exceeded 70%. So then what's
right.
happening? And if it was only 68.6%, what's the point?
You throw in the people with the acquired immunity after having suffered through the disease, and you're way past 70%. You're way past it. Either way, it doesn't matter. The availability is there. If you're scared, wear a mask, but don't harass people who don't want to wear a mask.
That's optional. That's America.
Of course, that's it.
It's not, though. It's still in New York and New Jersey, like I said. There are still lots of places where they give you a very, very hard time. So
you've got to wear a mask coming into this building, so...
I haven't worn a mask in this building in months.
I haven't either.
Really? I wear a mask because the sign is there, so I wear my mask.
Oh, the sign.
I wear the mask.
Signs.
You know, I don't want to, you know, cause a problem.
No problem.
But, I don't want to freak people out, but it's like.
I never saw the sign. I didn't read it. I don't know. I don't care.
Listen,
walk in and out, no mask.
We have this wonderful lady, and she really is. She's great. The head of HR. I love her. She's a sweetheart.
Candace,
a big giant fan. I love her to death.
Big UFC fan.
Right. She sent out an email about 3 months ago, 4 months ago. You got to wear a mask on this floor. I have not worn a mask in 6 months.
Sid never wore one. I did. I followed the rules until I got vaccinated. And then after that, I'm like, I don't need it. You're not in danger of me not wearing a mask, so I'm not wearing it.
That's what I did, too. As soon as I got that second dose, I waited the 2 weeks and mask off. Well, again, this report is sponsored by the Russian Tea Room. You have to try their afternoon tea at the Russian Tea Room for an enchanting experience. Ideal for pre-theater or a special occasion. You know, the theater, they're supposed to open up Broadway in September. So you can have this afternoon tea every single day, Monday through Friday, from 12 noon until 4:30 p.m. It says it's daily. And you can check out the Russian Tea Room at 150th West 57th Street. It's a beautiful place.
Thanks, Lydia. A great report. As usual, again, Lydia Serrani at 4 o'clock every day here on 77 WABC. She is better than the competition.
What are your plans for the future?
Spend as much time possible with Diane before she leaves.
Seriously, Lloyd.
I'm totally and completely serious.
Oh, really?
You mean my career? I don't know. I've thought about this quite a bit, sir, and I would have to say, considering what's waiting out there for me, I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything as a career. I don't want to sell anything bought or processed, or buy anything sold or processed, or process anything sold, bought, or processed, or repair anything sold, bought, or processed. You know, as a career, I don't want to do that. So my father's in the Army. He wants me to join, but I can't work for that corporation. So what I've been doing lately is kickboxing, which is a new sport, but I think it's got a good future. As far as career longevity, I don't really know because, you know, you can't really tell. If you're 8-6 as a fighter, you know, it's no good. You know, you have to be great, but I can't really tell if I'm great until I've had a couple of pro fights. But I haven't been knocked down yet. I don't know. I can't figure it all out tonight, so I'm just going to hang with your daughter.
I had to play that only because that is my favorite movies of all time. It's Say Anything. It's an older movie from the 80s. That's John Cusack, who played one of the most famous movie characters ever, Lloyd Dobler. And he was explaining to the father in that scene who passed away. He played Frasier's father.
What was the movie again?
Say Anything. But the guy that played Frasier's father, you know that actor? You know what I'm talking about? The show Frasier with...
Oh, yes, the old man.
Yes.
The one who was
John Mahoney.
He was in Moonstruck.
Yes.
Right.
So he plays the father. His daughter is Ione Skye. And the kicker of it is that Lloyd Dobler, the only thing he's really good at is hanging out with the daughter. That's what he's good at. But it's most famous, of course, the iconic scene is when they break up and he stands outside of her window holding up the boombox. We had boomboxes back then. And he's blasting the song In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. And that makes her cry in her bedroom. You know what I'm talking about, Matt Meany. And that was the iconic scene. So.
Iconic is the word, yes.
Yes. So I came back from my vacation. I'm on the airplane. I'm watching this movie. It made me think of some people. So I did play the scene right there. The great Lloyd Dobler and John Cusack. One of my favorite movies ever. Say Anything.
Can I get a what, what?
What, what?
Well, that was very, very nice. Nice, Sydney. You know what else was nice? Good news, actually, involving a horrible story. They caught a bad guy. They caught
a very bad guy.
The 10-year-old Justin Simmons. It was a cute black kid. He was murdered after a day at the beach with his family, murdered in Rockaway. And
Justin Wallace was his name, yeah.
Justin Wallace? Excuse
yes.
me. Okay.
Yes.
Justin Wallace. Anyway, his murderer was caught yesterday, the day he would have been 11. And you're never going to guess who caught this murderer.
How many guesses do I get?
Bunch of racists actually caught him. An organization that is very, very racist. They went after...
Oh, Black Lives Matter.
Nope.
Call a crackhead.
What do you mean?
The NYPD.
What?
Yes, the NYPD actually pursued... the murderer of a 10-year-old black kid and caught the guy. And it turns out that the murderer, guess what? Another shocker. What? He was not a white supremacist.
He wasn't white at all.
Right. Well, I mean, if you want to take it that far, go right ahead. But LeBron James, anything to say about any of this? Anybody? Look, Colin Kaepernick, Rob Manfred, any of you guys? So the NYPD, the racist NYPD, they caught the 10-year-old boy's murderer who was not a white supremacist. That's all you have to know, folks. That's how sick it is out there today. That's the biggest threat facing us. And, of course, you have thousands and thousands of young blacks being murdered in the inner city and older ones as well. And they're talking about a massacre 100 years ago, which needs to be acknowledged.
That's fine.
But to say that this mythical white supremacy is the biggest threat facing us today is such a divisive, poisonous, disgusting lie.
Hey, it's a lie. So my question to you is, because we bring this up often as we should, how do we stop it? Do we need mainstream media? Like I left, Barack Obama was actually complaining yesterday about mainstream media. He says that mainstream media stokes the flames and white people and blah, blah, blah. Wait a second. Last I checked, mainstream media goes out of their way. They'll do anything. They'll lie to protect the likes of Barack Obama and further lies like white supremacy is ruining this country. So my question to you is, outside of you and I talking about it, how do we fix that?
Well, there's a lot of people. So you heard me play some of the teachers and actually parents as well. are fighting back against the brainwashing that's going on in schools. People are waking up to it because it's starting to affect their kids. It's starting to affect their kids coming home and giving their parents' attitude. And the parents are like, what the hell are you teaching my kids in school?
Right.
And there's this ex-cop. His name is Zeke Abraham. He's a Twitter star. He's got a lot of followers, a former police officer. And he said this about white supremacy. Listen to this guy.
White supremacy isn't an issue for me. And I live in a white neighborhood, in a predominantly white neighborhood. You know when my safety becomes an issue? When I'm walking through the projects, when I'm in black neighborhoods. Why? Because rising crime rates, thanks to defund the police, has increased the crime rates, has increased violent crime there. You want to really save black people? Refund the police. How about doing that? Stop treating us like we're your pets. We're not your pets. We're not small children. We don't need your help. Frederick Douglass said it best. Leave black folk alone. If we fail, let us fail.
He's talking about, of course, the guilty white liberals.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth. Look what you did. Look what you did. You demonized the police. You caused all this crime. You're getting blacks killed left and right. He's exactly right, the Zeke Abraham. Over the weekend, Washington Square Park has they've implemented a curfew there because it's turned into, remember the movie Panic in Needle Park?
Of course.
Well, it's turned into it's just bums, vagrants, perverts, all kinds of nasty, disgusting things. So a 10 o'clock curfew. On Saturday, they were imposing the curfew. Believe it or not, 13 police officers were injured. They arrested 23 people, just charged them with trespassing, and gave them desk appearance tickets. Nobody was arrested for injuring the police officers, which I thought was strange. But in any case, this incident, one of these bums down there is yelling at the police. And they say the narrative is that the black people are afraid of the police. I don't see that. I see black people like twerking on top of police cars and yelling at them like, bullhorns, get out of here, pig. They don't look afraid to the police to me.
No.
Nor was this guy in Washington Square Park on Saturday night when he started calling the police the CH word that rhymes with stink, among other things. Take a listen.
Oh, what you want to do? Oh, what you want to watch my mouth or what? Watch my mouth or what? Watch my mouth or what? You can't. Don't look me up. Don't look me up. You fucking chick. Shut up, you fucking people with me. I'm by myself. Let me get this straight. This I'm talking about the fucking cops. That's what I'm talking about. The cops are not our friends. You understand? That's I want to get that clear because he walked by and said, "Yo, you us racist. Black people cannot be racist. We can be prejudiced to prejudge something, but we cannot be racist."
He ain't racist. That's for sure.
Yeah, you're not a racist, sure.
He sounds really afraid of the police, doesn't he?
They're not afraid. So we did a story earlier about a teacher in Bergen County. Bernard did, actually. Great story. Great job. And she quit because she's sick and tired of the curriculum and how these schools are ruining our children.
At a very, very elite private school called the Dwight Englewood School in Bergen County.
In Bergen County, yes.
In which the principal, his name is Joe Algrant.
Right. Well, I at least called her a hero, and this caller on line two took exception to that. So here's John in Farmingdale on line two. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Sid. Good morning, Bernie. I love you guys, and I usually agree with a lot of what you say.
Okay.
That being said, that teacher in New Jersey you were talking about before, she's not a hero.
Why not?
She abandoned those kids and then used the snowflake method of putting a video on the internet of gathering sympathy. I don't think she's a hero at all.
Okay.
Plenty of people who are teachers in the Bronx and in New Jersey.
John, that's dumb. She's exposing them, John. Listen, it wouldn't have been tenable, sustainable for her to come out and make a video like that and remain a teacher. She would have been fired. There would have been repercussions. So she just quit and exposed these people. And again, Joe Algrant is the principal of the school that allows this abuse of these children's mind. Joe Algrant, she is the hero. Dana Stengel-Plow is definitely the hero.
I think so, too. And, you know she loves her job, and she loves to teach these kids, but she decided that she's had enough. I've had enough. So you're welcome to that opinion, John, certainly, but we disagree. Here is Louie in Raritan, New Jersey, on line three, talking about the guy that we've been endorsing and the guy that we hope gets Phil Murphy out of the damn state. Good morning, Louie.
Hey, guys, he's Little Town Blues, Raritan, like Frank Sinatra sing. I grew up with him right down the street.
Oh, you did? So you know Jack Citarelli very well.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's been around. He was a councilman in our town, in the borough of Raritan first. Then he went from a councilman to a Somerset County freeholder. Then he went from a freeholder to the 16th Assembly as an assemblyman for 7 years. So he's been involved for about 20 years.
Good.
And he's a smart guy. He got a B.A. in business from Seton Hall.
Yep.
He got an M.A. from Seton Hall.
Yep.
And he owned a pharmaceutical company, and he owned a printing company.
Listen, he's a great-looking guy, too. He's a very impressive guy, and seems to be much brighter than Phil Murphy, at least on the surface. I mean, seems to be.
Well, Phil Murphy's no idiot. He's just incompetent.
No, he's an idiot.
Okay, he's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
Hey, listen, speaking of not idiots on the way out, just one clip of this teacher on the way out. Her name is Dana Stengel-Plow from the Dwight Englewood School in Bergen County, where the kids are being abused because the principal, Joe Algrant, allows it. Listen to Dana Stengel-Plow.
This February, during a faculty meeting, teachers were segregated by skin color. White teachers were placed into a white caucus group, asked to remember that we are white and to take responsibility for our power and privilege. I reject this essentialist, racialist thinking about myself and my colleagues, and I worry for the students. Will racial segregation be forced on them next?
So, yeah, that's the thing. Segregation is the new thing. I mean, we fought against segregation in this country for a long time, against the Democrats and the Jim Crow Democrats, all that stuff. And they bring it all back.
Yep.
Racism and judging people based on the color of their skin.
That's why this lady, and I understand John's point, she abandoned the kids. The kids need her. But if she can't teach the kids what she believes, if she has to go to work every single day, basically, like, I hate to use this example, but, my friend Stephen Sotloff, who was sitting in front of Jihadi John with a knife to his throat, if she has to go to work every single day under those conditions, at that point, she's no good anyway. So she is a hero because she stood up for the better.
Absolutely. And that's what they need. You need that. You need teachers, parents, and students. One of the teachers in Loudoun County this morning, we played her. She was like, telling the students, listen, you're on the front line. You get up in that teacher's face and say, what are you telling us of you older kids who know better, who are afraid to say something?
Well, we've had a couple of examples of that, and I've seen both now, where the teacher was expelled because the kid won the battle, and I've seen also where the kid was expelled because the school wasn't happy with what the kid was saying. So there is some peril involved there. But listen, when you try to change for the better, isn't there always peril involved? Always?
There's always a risk when you need to be courageous. Get some spitballs in the classroom. Spitball the teacher like it in the old days.
I did that. I threw erasers, chalk, the whole thing.
Let gas go in the class when she's in the middle of her racist rant.
I've done that too. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. An exciting 9 o'clock hour about to come your way, including your chance at cash prizes, only right here on Bernie and Sid.
I should be back in school.
Folks, 77WABC presents New York City's first comptroller debate today. Today with Dominic Carter as your moderator. The debate begins at 4:15. You can stream it and watch it live on WABCRadio.com or download the 77WABC app and listen wherever you are from New York's talk leader, 77WABC.
You're my Mona Lisa.
So I'm not going to cry again. I got a good cry in at about 6:45 this morning at the beginning of this show. But I do want to wish my late father, Harvey, a very happy birthday today. It's the first time in my lifetime in 54 years that my dad has not been here on his birthday. He passed away last July the 1st. And I've got a great picture of me and my dad and my son Gabe, who photobombed us, on my Instagram account at rosenberg.sydney, at rosenberg.sydney, and my Facebook page. Go check it out. Daddy, I miss you. I love you. And I'm still heartbroken, just so you know. And with that said, we have a full board of calls. We have Beat Bernie coming your way at 9:40. Brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders, your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. And we've got a guest from the Uniformed Firefighters Association coming up at 9:20 because I believe they are the ones sponsoring this afternoon's comptroller debate, which you can only hear right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. And it is an important position. I don't know if folks realize, Scott Stringer, who's running for mayor right now on the Democrat side, he's the current comptroller. That is a hefty responsibility. This guy's in charge of monies everywhere, all over the city. So this is not just some job. It's a very, very important job, and that's why it makes sense we are doing what we're doing here at this station later on today. I think you agree with that, Bernard.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So check it out. Today at 4 o'clock, the comptroller debate on 77.
I think it starts at 4:15 to be
4:15,
exact.
4:15, WABC. Yeah. It is important. It'll be fiery as well. They got a a lot of people want it, and they will be throwing crazy joints. Hey, listen, you know, I did. There was another kid in Maplewood, New Jersey, 17-year-old black kid murdered again. Thank you, Black Lives Matter, the overreaction to the George Floyd mess. A Marine died in Paris Island during training. That hasn't happened in a long time. A Marine recruit died down there. He was going through this 54-hour crucible. So hearts go out to him. I mean, it's tough, tough, tough. Also, Carol Markowitz, she has a column in the New York Post this morning, and we were just talking about it. It's entitled, Please, New York, Unmask. And she talks about how she took her kid to a roller skating party over the weekend. It was 93 degrees outside, yeah. And the kids had to wear masks outdoors, rolling around on skates. Really terrible. She says it's mass hysteria. It's terrifying.
She said mask hysteria?
No, mass hysteria. Oh. Well, yeah, she could have said that. But what they're doing to the kids, and especially making them wear masks in schools, it's like child abuse as well. And also, we talked about Kamala Harris and her disastrous interview with
Lester Holt,
supposed to be a friend of hers, it turns out. Well, he has his own credibility to uphold, even though he came out once before and he says, we don't have to be fair. Why do we have to be fair? But anyway,
he actually said that the same night he won a very prestigious journalist award. Can't make that up. Yeah. He's like, we're not about fair.
It was part of it. But anyway, this exchange between the two of them, you probably heard it by now, but this is it anyway. Him asking her about visiting. She's the border czar, right?
you would think,
you know, like if you're in charge of solving a murder, you go to the scene of the crime, right?
Right.
Anyway, take a listen.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. This whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe.
What?
And I don't understand the point that you're making.
The dumbest answer I've ever heard.
I don't understand that. Listen, Willie Brown had to help her pass that bar exam. Willie Brown is the guy who helped her rise through the political ladder in California. She slept with him. He was the top guy in California. He was at one point mayor of San Francisco, but in charge of the legislature there, Willie Brown. This is nationalreview.com, folks. Check that out. That story is there. That actually happened. And I'm not going to say the lady's a bimbo because that would be disrespectful to the office. But she, as Brett Hume said last night, she is definitely a lightweight. She's not a serious person. And she was, and Tucker Carlson, as you pointed out, he filleted her last night.
Killed her.
This is what happens when you pick a person based on their appearance.
That's right.
And not based on their merit.
She's got no substance, none. Every person that talked about her trip to Latin America was saying the same thing. How exciting is this? A woman, a black woman, an Asian woman, or that woman, or that. I mean, who gives a rat's ass? Is she credible?
Right.
Is she competent? Can she do the job? And she arrived, and in 15 minutes she came to find very, very quickly, they hate her guts.
The same thing goes with diversity in the military.
Oh, no.
I mean, look, it's great. But you join the military, believe me when I tell you, you're going to fight alongside, you're going to sleep alongside, you're going to go through the woods, the desert, whatever it is, with people who are not like you. You're going to do that. That's going to happen. There is diversity in the military, but what they're doing now with this woke crap is just
too much.
It's insane.
It's
too much, yeah. Women who their credibility is, or they marched in a protest. They had two mommies, some chubby guy with a chubby gay guy with a nose ring, in the CIA recruitment video. Who cares?
No.
Just stop the hacking of the pipelines.
That's it. That's right. Hey, also, talking about the hacking of the pipelines, I know that some of the ransom that folks paid, including we did here, I guess, millions and millions of dollars a couple of weeks ago for the Colonial Pipeline, they recovered about half of that money. Is that right?
They did, the Bitcoin. And by the way, this happens, and we've talked about it before all the time. John Catsimatidis is all over it. He knows it happens all the time. This is the new war, cyber terror. Those are the two biggest threats to this country right now, today. It's not climate change.
No.
It's not white supremacy.
No.
It's cyber terrorism and crime, ladies and gentlemen. Look, this Jennifer Granholm, she's the energy secretary. She was on F the Nation, I believe it was, on Sunday morning. On F the Nation was the energy secretary. Take a listen to this.
Do you think that adversaries of the United States
have the capability right now to shut down the power grid?
Yeah, they do. There are thousands of attacks on all aspects of the energy sector and the private sector generally. It's happening all the time.
These private companies, every day they're paying, almost every day they're paying ransoms to these cyber attackers, and we don't hear about it.
No.
I mean, only when it affects us, let's say the gas price, the gas pump, the prices go up, or there's a shortage, do you hear about it. But otherwise, these companies are paying it because they have insurance. They have they actually buy a cyber ransomware insurance.
Yes,
and they and these guys, so these hackers know that, and it's business as usual. So it happens all the time, and it could happen. That's why I say to people, always keep cash on hand, keep an extra amount of meds and a lot of food and water in your home, because you never know. Tomorrow could be the day the electrical grid goes down.
Just yesterday, hundreds of people were arrested all over the globe for cyber attacks. Just yesterday, hundreds of people arrested all over the globe. We did talk earlier about Jack Cittarelli getting the big win on the Republican side in New Jersey. He is now set to square off against Phil Murphy for the gubernatorial in that state. Drew is in White Plains, New York. Bernard on line 9. Good morning, Drew.
Yes, yes, Bernie, it's Sid. This is a great thing, and I want to tell you why. And I don't want you guys to take it offensive, but New York needs to take a page out of his playbook. Jack Cittarelli and Phil Murphy will have to just debate policy. Jack Cittarelli is not a Trump supporter, which means in a blue state like New Jersey, Phil Murphy can't just say Donald Trump and everybody gets sensitive and votes for Phil Murphy. They have to debate policy. The one thing that New York is doing wrong is putting forward three Trump supporters in a state where he's very unpopular.
Well, listen, that is true, but not to cut you off, Drew, but Jack Cittarelli is like me. He went from a never-Trumper, and I did not vote for Donald Trump the first time I voted for Hillary Clinton. I did vote for Donald in 2020. But he went from that guy to a guy that absolutely supported Donald Trump and voted for him in the last election. So be careful. He was not initially for Trump, but when it was over and done in 2020, like me, he voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So he's obviously a smart guy.
And as we know now, you know, in retrospect, we could see on every issue, just about every single issue. In fact, you can't think of an issue where he was wrong. Trump was right. He was right on everything.
Ultimately, I'm always right.
And it's true. So maybe I think a lot of people have come to that realization.
Oh, I think so, too.
Law and order, the disrespect around the world with the hacking the Iranians and the border stuff. So he warned about the border and also the socialism that we're seeing creeping into this country.
Middle East.
Not creeping. It's clobbering us, actually.
Yeah. So I did speak to Eric Ulrich again yesterday for about the millionth time. And he once again, him and Monash are telling me that Eric Adams, right now the front runner to be mayor in this city, is going to join us on Friday. I will tell you, don't hold your breath. I said, Eric, this guy can't run the city if he's scared of me or scared of us. He said, he ain't scared. He loves you guys. He refers to Bernie and Sid as his boys. So we'll see if Adams shows up on Friday. Vic in Brooklyn on line 3 wants to talk about Eric Adams. Good morning, Vic.
Good morning. You know, you had Bo Dietl on there espousing the virtue of this clown. And if you look at any of his commercials, They talk about Abilene, that he was there. Nothing about how he's going to do stop and frisk under a different name. And I would take him to task on that. Just look at his commercials and see. Where is he saying?
Right. He is not for stop and frisk. He made that point very clear 2 days ago when he actually said he was against that. He was against Rudy Giuliani's racist and bully tactics. The way he handled the police, he said he wants to go back to the David Dinkins era. Now, listen, if God is good to me, I'll be 55 in April. Outside of the clown we've got in office right now, Bill de Blasio, the next worst mayor in my lifetime was Dinkins. God rest his soul. Nice guy, just passed away. He was a disaster, and the city was falling apart. And according to Eric Adams, he wants to go back to those days. How does that make sense?
It makes sense because he's running in a Democrat primary against a bunch of crazies, and he's got to appeal to a certain element of people out there. So he's going to say certain things. But he has said in the past.
He called Rudy Giuliani's tactics racist. I'm not okay with that.
No, that's not cool. Not at all. Nor was I cool with it when Mike Bloomberg started calling some of the policies that he employed a racist, throwing essentially, effectively, Greg Kelly under the bus and Rudy Giuliani and Bill Bratton.
Ray Kelly, excuse me.
Yeah, Greg's dead. But Eric Adams is, if Vic is still there, you would agree, he's the best of a bad bunch. There's no question about it. He has said he wants to bring back stop and frisk in the past under another name. He has said that. And wait till after the primary, he'll say it again. Because law and order is paramount. It's number one. As Bo Dietl says, there are three big issues in this city. It's crime, crime, and crime. And Eric Adams is the best of this all this crazy bunch on crime.
All right. Well, you're more convinced of that than I am. Doug is in Bound Brook, New Jersey, on line four. Good morning, Dougie.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Here's a theory. As far as the white supremacy is concerned, perhaps this is a diversionary tactic. All they do is talk about white supremacy to get people's minds off the fact that we basically have systemic black violence. Heather McDonald said last night, I think it was on Laura Ingraham, they shoot one another at 10 times the rate white people do.
Listen, it's not even, I talk about this, Doug, all the time. Every Friday on 96th Street and Broadway, you have about 20 old Jewish people, white-haired Jewish people holding up a sign, stop killing black people. And then about 2 weeks ago, shirtless coming out of New York Sports Club, I ran over to the people with the sign and I said, you know who kills black people? Black people!
By the thousands. This is the legacy of the overreaction to the George Floyd death. It was happening before, but now it increased exponentially since the George Floyd. The lawlessness, because the police are not proactive, because they've been demonized, demoralized, dehumanized, understandably. They're not going out there and they're not... And again, no stop and frisk, no anti-crime task force. I mean, these policies have consequences.
Well, they're defenseless, these poor cops. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
So Maya Wiley is out there doing her commercials every day and telling people, vote for me because I hate the police.
And that's part of the root cause of crime. But then why is it, speaking of the root cause, and this is where the conversation gets awkward and people don't want to talk about it. I asked Peter King, I asked a couple of other people on the show. I said, why is it that young black males commit such a disproportionate amount of the crime? What is it about young black males? Is there a culture or what's going on that blacks are that they're killing other blacks in such record numbers?
You can't be that stupid. I mean, it's white people's fault. It's your fault.
Well, I mean, seriously.
No, I'm being serious. Nobody made it impossible for these kids to succeed.
But we know it's not. We know systemic racism doesn't exist. White supremacy is a myth.
Oh, so that's
we know
the
that. Hmm. So what?
I'm going to take one.
Is it fatherlessness? Is it the culture? Is it the music? The thug life? The disrespectful. If you learn how to read, you're trying to be white. That type of thing. You're trying to do well in school. You're trying to be white. You know, go out there and wear your pants down, as Don Lemon used to say, the baggy pants thing, and emulate the thug life. And of course, you won't go anywhere in life.
Right, that's right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer.
No, it's
I'm
all
asking
those things.
The question.
It's all those things. You just nailed it. It starts with the father. It starts with the household. There's no father figure there. A lot of these moms, God bless them, they're out there working 2-3 jobs a day. They're not checking on their kids. Their kids are not going to school. They're out there drinking, smoking weed, having sex while mom is working 18 jobs to try to pay the electric bill. But that's your answer right there. That's your answer right there. When my wife's at work, I'm home with the kids, and vice versa. Somebody's there to make sure that Ava and Gabe are fed, that their homework is done, that somebody is there that loves them. In these communities, that's not the case, and that's the beginning. The rest of the stuff you just talked about, that certainly adds to it.
It's not white supremacy.
It ain't white people, no.
Okay. All right, if you say so.
Charles Barkley once said, one of these days, we need to take a good look at our own community. Charles Barkley. No, not a genius. Great basketball player.
I don't know. I mean, I just want to solve the problem. I hate to see all these blacks being murdered in the inner cities and some whites.
That's terrible.
And some whites as well. I hate that.
I'm with you. Beat Bernie is coming up on Bernie and said, man, we are the best.
Stand up for your country.
Beat Bernie coming up in about 13 minutes. Your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. Check them out. PeerlessBorders.com, PavilionTankless.com. Looking for a contestant right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Now, we have this big controller debate coming up this afternoon starting at 4:15 here. And it promises to be exciting. It's a very, very important job. And we are fortunate to have in the studios right now a very, very impressive guest, Andrew Ansbro. He's the president of the Uniformed Firefighters Association, represents over 20,000 active duty and retired New York City firefighters. More importantly, was a firefighter himself and a hero, a survivor of 9/11. So first of all, thank you for your service, Andrew. Welcome to the studios.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you.
A pleasure. By the way, let me just say, his first fire, first call, 9/11.
Yeah, that was your first fire. So let's talk about that for a second. We had Frank Siller on this show about 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely. Frank's great.
Frank's a great guy. And I do these commercials for this law firm that is still trying to collect money for people. People are still dying 20 years later. But when you hear that 20 years later, it's about 3 months away now, the commemoration, 20 years later. Does it feel like 20 years for you?
Sometimes it feels like yesterday. Sometimes it feels like a million years ago.
What, on that day, were you in North Tower, South Tower? What were your responsibilities that day?
I came from with 58 Engine from Harlem, and we went down to assigned to the South Tower, made it as far as the Marriott Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And we were in the Marriott Hotel when the South Tower collapsed and landed on it.
Wow. You were right there at the Marriott Hotel. And you came from Harlem, you said?
Yes.
Well, I live very close. I live like 105th and West End, so I know that firehouse very, very well. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I met a, believe it or not, a firefighter a week and a half ago from a Woodside, retired. They got held up at the, they were on their way to a 9/11, got held up at the Queens Midtown Tunnel because of traffic, and that may have saved his life. I mean,
wow.
It was just a horrific, horrible, horrible day that we'll never forget. We will never forget. Andrew Ansborough from the NYFD, New York's finest. Retired, of course, and you guys are sponsoring the big comptroller's debate today here on 77 WABC, which is an important thing. I mean, that's a very, very, you know, not a, I wouldn't say, I was going to say respectable position, but a position of responsibility. They prepare audits, they oversee how city agencies spend their money, manage the city's public pension funds. Which should be of interest to you, Andrew, right?
Absolutely. The management of the pension fund is paramount for our decision on who we're endorsed for comptroller. Making sure that money is available to pay out the pensions for the current members and the retirees is paramount.
Have you made a public endorsement yet?
We have endorsed Corey Johnson.
Corey Johnson. And do you mind if I ask why?
Well, Corey understands the importance of keeping the funding keeping everything well funded. Also, he understands that it's not a political football, the money. The primary purpose of the comptroller is to make sure that the investments are sound,
right,
and the pension is sustainable. There are a lot of candidates that are talking about using the money as a political football,
right,
for their niche needs and wants, and that's really not what the money's there for.
What happens if somebody today, though, at this debate really outshines Corey Johnson and says all the things that you want to hear and talks about the pensions and the monies and all those things? Is there a chance you can change your mind, or are you solidly behind Corey Johnson?
We're solidly behind Corey Johnson. We have a great working relationship with him. And
does he have a financial background that we are aware of, or any type of?
To my knowledge, he does not have an extensive financial background.
Right.
But the staff, that it's pretty complex how the Comptroller's office handles the pension funds. There is a chief investment officer, and that is always a Wall Street type. And there's a Bureau of Asset Management does all the vetting. He's basically the executive to make sure things run smoothly.
Fair. I mean, right now, are your folks, and again, you represent over 20,000 firefighters, are your folks being treated fairly, or do you feel like right now you're getting the raw end of the deal?
Well, every time I see politicians try to discuss where the pension money should and shouldn't be invested based on social issues or climate change, it kind of kind of irks me.
So you weren't swayed by the Brad Lander commercial in which AOC and Gerald Wadler and Senator Liz Warren endorsed Brad Lander for city controller. That didn't persuade you to change your mind?
Not at all.
Good man.
Say no more.
Yeah, so your father was a cop, though, right?
Yes, he was.
And he retired in 2002.
He retired in 2002. He was the chief of the NYPD Transit Division.
Wow. So, like last Sunday, for example, when we played the annual football game in Jersey,
yes,
the cops versus the firemen, you guys won. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But you and your father were getting a wrestling match, throw each other around, a little hand-to-hand combat?
those days are long gone.
Yeah. But they did exist at one point.
They did exist at one point.
Yeah, I figured that.
So we're hosting the New York City Comptroller's Debate, the first one here on 77 WABC today. And we believe it starts at 4:15.
4:15, yes.
4:15. And we're speaking with Andrew Ansborough. He's the president of the Uniformed Firefighters Association. And he is they're sponsoring this debate.
Yes, we are.
And he is endorsing Corey Johnson. And do you know who's I haven't seen any polls. Is there any front runner that you know about?
I believe Corey is the front runner.
He is a front runner. Yes. Okay. All we right. like this Michelle Caruso girl. We like her.
Michelle Caruso Cabrera.
Yeah, we like her. She seems
yes,
to.
Yes, I watch. I've seen her on the Financial Channel for decades. I watch the shows. I like her personally. I just believe that Corey Johnson
the right guy
is
for the job.
Right guy for the
so
job.
So where'd you grow up in Brooklyn? What part?
Sunset Park.
Oh, you did? And you went to Severian High School?
Yes, I did.
Chris Mullin scored a lot of points there. A lot of points, Chris Mullin.
Yeah, my brother was in his class.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Yeah, see, anytime you can mention Chris Mullin, Brooklyn, Marine Park, St. John's, he's still like such a big deal 30, 40 years later,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Such an amazing thing. Well, listen, congratulations on this afternoon. Best of luck to you. You have a very important job, and I'm sure all these firefighters love you to death. And good luck to Corey Johnson. And thank you for helping out our station on this very, very big day. Thank you so much.
And for your service back in 9/11 and subsequent to that.
Very good. Thank you.
You're a true hero. Nice to meet you. Andrew Ansbro, folks. Once again, the president of the Uniformed Firefighters Association. This guy represents over 20,000 active duty and retired firefighters. And again, a hero was there on 9/11. And thank God 20 years later is still here with us. We got Beat Bernie coming up and your phone calls as well.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
It is time to beat Bernie at 9:44 on your Wednesday morning. New York City. Tony is in my borough of Brooklyn this morning. What's going on, Ant? Tony, what's
hey
up,
guys?
Brother? How you doing, all right?
All right. All right.
Where you at in Brooklyn?
Crown Heights.
Crown Heights. All right. Is that where you live or you work there?
No, that's where I work.
Okay.
I'm originally from Bay Ridge.
Ah, no way. Tony from Bay Ridge? That never happens. What? you're an insurance broker. Is that right?
That's right.
How is business these days? Okay.
Just make sure you guys pay the bills. That's all that matters.
Make sure you pay. How about that, Tony? Anyway,
it's
nice to have you this morning. And good luck in the game. You know how the game works. 5 questions. You beat Bernie, we'll give you $100. And that's how it works, okay?
You got it.
Here we go, Tone. Number one, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Utah, and what other state are the only other states that authorize use of the firing squad as a means to put someone to death? Mississippi, Oklahoma, Utah, and what fourth and final state?
Texas.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
I got to tell you, that's a great answer, but it's not. I'll give you a hint. Lindsey Graham. No, no. South Carolina. South Carolina.
Oh, man.
Number two, the largest amphibious assault in the Pacific Theater of World War, which resulted in 12,500 U.S. deaths, took place on what island? Should know this. Come on.
Okinawa?
Yes! Nicely done, Ant. Number three, in 1875, what Republican was elected governor of Ohio? And then 17 months later, he took the oath of office as the 19th president of the United States. He didn't last long, this guy.
Why?
No.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
Rutherford B. Hayes. He didn't last long, though, right? Something happened to him or something. I don't know. I don't know anything about the president. In campaign issues during the presidential election of 1856, what adjective preceded Kansas and Sumner?
Oh, my God.
Tony, believe me.
Skip.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
It's bleeding. I mean, how's he supposed to know stuff like
this? I bet you Bernie gets that right.
Well, it's Bernie. There's something wrong with Bernie. I mean, seriously.
So we have this game.
Where's the Mokey Wilson answers? Number five. Tony, you like the Mets?
Love them.
You like the Yankees?
Sometimes.
You don't like sports?
Love sports.
Oh, you do? What's your favorite team? Of all the teams, what's your favorite?
Brooklyn Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets. Look at you. All right. Yeah. You're halfway to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's the good news. The bad news is you're about to get your ass kicked in this game, okay? So you got to get this one right to get two right, okay?
Go ahead.
Here we go. Which doesn't belong and why? Which doesn't belong and why? Chris Christie, Corey Booker, and Christine Todd Whitman.
Oh, man. You got me there.
Really?
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax should be Jesus.
I should know that Christine Todd Whitman and Chris Christie were both governors of New Jersey. and Cory Booker was not. By the way, Cory Booker is also black. The other two are white.
Well, that's how, you know, I did leave the door open there, you know?
So you could have gone with that one, too,
you're,
right?
You're right. I got to choose these wisely moving forward.
I'm going to stick to my insurance.
No, that's okay. Hang on hold. You never know what could happen. Tony, Bernie, they only got two right. So you got one right, and you'll have a chance to talk to Bernie coming up, Tone. Bernie, you need two right to win today, okay? Tough guy. Two right, all right?
That's it?
That's it, handsome.
All right.
I did.
I'll give it a shot.
I did.
Don't say that.
You know, go on. Ava gets very upset with me.
I'm all right.
Yeah. Here we go. Number one, Bernard McGurk, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Utah. And what other state are the only states that authorize use of the firing squad as a means to put someone to death? Mississippi, Oklahoma, Utah, and what other state?
Mississippi, Oklahoma, Utah. That was Gary Gilmore.
Yeah, that's right. Very good.
Probably the last one. Yeah, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Utah. I would have to say, God, I really don't know.
So
I'm
going to
guess.
Something.
I'm going to say Texas.
That's what he said. Funny, you both said that. And I happen to say that's a very good guess. It's wrong. Your hint is Lindsey Graham.
South Carolina.
The largest amphibious assault in the Pacific Theater of World War, which resulted in 12,500 U.S. deaths, took place on what island? World War II, of course, we're talking about.
World War II, of course, it's either Iwo Jima or Okinawa.
Correct. What's your final answer?
I would go with...
your final answer?
I go with Okinawa.
Yeah.
The last one, by the way.
If you get one more right, you win.
One they may not even have needed, but I digress.
All right, one more you win. In 1875, what Republican was elected governor of Ohio, and then 17 months later, he took the oath of office as the president, the 19th president of the United States.
What year was this?
This was in, you were in high school, 1875.
1875.
Yeah.
And what state?
Well, he went from being a Republican in Ohio to being president.
All right. Well, it wasn't, good Lord. I'd have to go with, it had to be before McKinley.
Yeah. Need your final answer.
So I would say a guy named Harrison.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
Rutherford B. Hayes.
I hate that guy.
All right. It's 1-1 right now.
I went to Hayes High School, too.
You should know that.
I was Cardinal.
Like something like Hogan or something on my microphone. In campaign issues, during the presidential election of 1856, what adjective preceded Kansas and Sumner? Now, Matt said you're going to get this right. If you get this right, you are a tard with a capital T.
Repeat the question.
Yeah, damn right I will. In campaign issues during the presidential election of 1856, what adjective preceded Kansas and Sumner? I mean, come on. There's no way you can't know this.
What adjective?
Yes.
Kansas. It wouldn't be free. It would be Sumner, Fort Sumner.
No, you didn't get it. Forget it. All right, so if you scrape your knee, you start to what?
Cry.
Bleed. Bleeding. Now, what is that from? Bleeding Kansas Sumner.
Well, Bleeding Kansas was about some spats in Kansas that was against anti-slavery and slavery pro people. And the Sumner one I was looking at before, it had something to do with, I'm not actually sure.
It's the guy that wrote the question.
I mean, it's no idea. Here we go. So if you get this right, you win. If not, this ends up in a 1-1 tie. This is, you talk about futility.
Which doesn't belong in white.
That's right. Which doesn't belong in wine.
Hit me.
You nervous?
Nope.
Chris Christie.
Right.
Cory Booker.
Yep.
Christine Todd Whitman.
Well, it's Cory Booker, of course.
But why?
Because he's black.
That's what I said.
No, of course he's
No, not of course. That's what I said to him. You've got to be careful with that.
I knew that would be... that would come up, but
we know it's the governor's stuff. But
yes, exactly.
But if you say to me he's black,
you could throw that in. And by the way, he grew up in a very, very white neighborhood, and he may be half black. So I don't know if that really applies.
He gets all his money from Wall Street, all white guys. Yeah. Anyway, the final score today is 2-1. Bernie beats Tony. Tony, say hello to Bernie.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, good
today was one for the books.
Yeah. What's the adjective of Sumner? Come on, bro.
What are you talking about here?
Tony from Brooklyn. Tony, where in Brooklyn? Tell me.
Well, Bay Ridge originally.
He's all from right. Bay Ridge, but now he's in Sunset.
A lot of Palestinians in Bay Ridge. Did you go to that pro-Palestinian march in Bay Ridge? Was that Bay Ridge?
No, I had to work that day.
He would have been there. Right. If he had the day off, he would have been there. Hey, Tony, thank you for playing today. Thank you for listening to Bernie and Sid, and continued success with the insurance, okay?
You got it. Bye-bye.
We'll close it out on the phones as we do every day. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Another win for Bernard. And your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
Beat Bernie. Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters. On 77 WABC.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left. We were very happy that Citarelli won in New Jersey yesterday because we got to get Phil Murphy out. Murphy here, Cuomo, Whitmer, Wolf in Pennsylvania. These are all cancers to our country. They really are, talking about 9/11 and toxic cancers. These men are cancers, and women, Gretchen Whitmer, to our country. Ralph is in New Jersey on line one, and over you,
please. Yeah, that is, Jamal, that is a polite way of describing them, cancer to our country. And, you know, they are definitely, absolutely pushing the socialist agenda. In the case of this piece of crap, Morphy, okay, there's still a question that I want to ask you, Phil, and that is, you know, what do you think about Hitler? Because you were in Germany during the Obama years, and I heard from some people here you have met him personally. What?
You heard that Phil Murphy met Hitler during the he was in jail? Okay. Hey, Ralph, we don't like Phil Murphy.
I'm not going to go as far as comparing him to Hitler, though. Cinderella's that's a bit much.
Hey, look, Charles has a great point. Which doesn't belong and why? Christie, well, let him say it. Charles is in Queens. Go ahead, Charles.
Hey, no, I wanted to say there's other ways you could slice and dice that question. That Christy Todd Whitman, presumably a woman, and the other two presumably men, if we're still allowed to talk about gender, right?
And?
Or you could say Christy is morbidly obese and the other two are not. How about that?
Oh, my God.
All good answers. All would be winners.
Very
good, Charles.
Very good job, Charles. We're done for today. We hope you enjoyed this Wednesday edition of Bernie and Sid. Big show coming tomorrow. Bill O'Reilly will be here with me and Bernie, and I tape Wendy Williams tomorrow. You can watch me at 10 o'clock Friday morning on Channel 5, 3 o'clock Friday afternoon on Channel 9. Join us tomorrow morning at 6:30. Enjoy your Wednesday. Until then, from all of us to all of you in New York, peace!